once again showing his versatility.
I think we have five number ones.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
But $22 million for Brian Daubeck, give me a break.
And Redmond has been thrown out of the ballgame.
NFL tight end, you know, those playing years are dog years.
Maybe it's adamantium. Maybe it's vibranium. Maybe it's something really cool I don't even know about yet.
Welcome back to another episode of the 300s podcast. My name is Red, and as usual, I will be your host, and we are here with our good friend Mattis once again joining us in the 300s podcast studio. And you look around, you'll see it's Labor Day weekend, so we decided to bring it outside.
Yeah, definitely. We, it's nice to be back. It's been a little while since we've done a podcast. It's gorgeous out. It's that nice fall weather, which is, I think, very fitting for the podcast that we're going to do and what we're going to preview right now. So excited to be back. Definitely.
So, you know, the Patriots season is about to kick off, depending on when you watch this. What is it? Sunday, September 9th, right?
Yeah.
A 1 o'clock game, the kickoff against the Texans. So we figured, what better time than now to preview the season, give a little predictions. If they come back to bite us in the ass, you guys can look at this video and make fun of us. So basically what we want to do is kind of go through the team and go through the season and you know, see what do we think is going to jump out. And we're not going to delve into the wide receiver core like every other outlet has in the country. That's, you know, been there, done that. They're going to be thin. We know that. So the first thing I'm going to jump into is offensive MVP. So, Michael, obviously you got the Gronks, you got Brady. But the wide receiver core is thin, as we just talked about. There's only going to be three guys potentially on it. Chris Hogan's going to have to carry that while Edelman's out on his alleged suspension. I don't know. We got a bunch of running backs. Who do you think's going to jump out?
Well, the one that stands out to me the most is Burkhead. I'm really, really high on him this year, you know, not just from a fantasy perspective, but I think that he can just do so much. You know, he's not just a guy that can carry the rock, but, you know, he's a great pass receiver out of the backfield. I think that, you know, the pony offense, which we've, you know, discussed before, which is basically having two running backs, I think you're going to see that a lot, especially in the beginning of the year. I think they're going to have to rely heavily on the running backs. And again, everyone's talked ad nauseum about the receiving core. You know, Dorsett's looked okay, and Patterson, I think, could be, you know, a sneaky guy. We'll get to that in a bit. But I do think that Burkhead, as long as that slight tear, whatever the hell that means, holds up, I think he's going to be really impressive. I mean, the guy had 8 touchdowns in 10 games last year, which is a pretty good rate. And like I said, this is a really versatile guy that kind of, you know, a la Danny Woodhead, can do a lot for this team. And he's the guy I expect to really step up and hopefully be the guy.
And that's the one thing that concerns me is Burkhead. They said it's not a serious injury. He can play through it. If it was the regular season, he would be playing. But they did say it's a fucking knee tear. As minor as that is, that's still a tear, and that concerns me. That could turn into a major tear, or that could just be a nagging issue all year long. That's not necessarily something you want to see from a running back, a tear in his fucking knee. Now, this is also a guy that had injury concerns last year. He missed a bunch of games last year, and he's not historically injury-riddled guy, but I don't know the numbers, we'll have to look it up, but last year was probably his heaviest workload to date before he got hurt. I mean, in Cincinnati, he was, you know, he was a kind of a bit role player, whereas in New England, they were feeding him the rock. So that's something that kind of concerns me. But as far as other potential offensive MVPs, you know, Gronk's going to put up huge numbers as long as he's healthy. I don't know if I would necessarily draft Tom Brady just because he's going to be throwing a bunch of trash cans a la 2006 again. But, you know, we could see some stand-up performers while Edelman is out. I think Chris Hogan's going to be very solid. We talked about this a little bit beforehand, where how good do you think he's going to be in terms of being a number one wide receiver? And I think he's going to be great. But when I say that, I think he's going to be great in relative terms. He's going to be great for Chris Hogan terms. He's not going to necessarily be great for a number one receiver. He's not going to put up Antonio Brown numbers. But I think he'll be solid. I think he'll be, you know, a reliable option for Tom Brady. But what about Philip Dorsett? There was a lot of praise going on around him in that preseason where he was a total fucking bum last year, but he did miss the entire offseason program. So he's been getting a lot of talk in this preseason. I know people are excited. I'm a little less confident, but what do you think?
Well, going off of what you said about Burkhead and the workload, I think that is something that you really have to take into account. So this guy was a backup on Cincinnati for years. That's where he started. And, you know, again, not to bring up the Danny Woodhead thing, but, you know, he was a guy who didn't play as long in the Jets as Burkhead played on the Bengals. But I think after week 7 last year, when Burkhead came back, up until about week 16, when he got hurt again, they used him a lot. He was the primary guy, especially on the goal line. And a lot of people forget that Gillislee actually got a lot of run at the beginning of last year. He actually finished, I believe, and I'd have to double check this, but as the second leading rusher on the team. I mean, Gillislee got a lot of play at the beginning of the year, and Burkhead really took over. As good as Deion Lewis was, Burkhead was actually the primary red zone guy. When it got down to the end of the year. So you want to see if he's going to be able to hold that up again. But if he can, I really do think that he's going to be the one to stand out. And as far as Chris Hogan goes, he's another guy that in a vacuum, if you look at his stats, he had 34 receptions last year. That's not impressive. But he also had an injury, a freak shoulder injury that held him out for, you know, most of the latter half of the season. So, you know, I don't think he's really gotten a chance to showcase what he did. And when he was with the Bills, before we signed him, before we brought him on, he actually led the league in yards per reception. So that's, I mean, he's an athletic guy. He was a great lacrosse player. So he's, I know you'll appreciate that. You know, Red's a big spoonhead. So, but I do think that Hogan actually has the chance to remain that number one receiver even after Edelman comes back. And we'll get a little more into it in a bit on our thoughts on Edelman. But this is the year for Hogan. And I do think Hogan can produce as a number one receiver. Do I think he's going to be 90 catches and 1,300 yards? Absolutely not. And I think that has a lot to do with the Patriots offense and the way they operate things and the way they spread the ball out a lot as well. But I do think that Hogan could potentially put up Pro Bowl numbers this year. And as far as Dorsett goes, again, you know, everyone forgets this guy was a first-round pick. You know, he's not off the scrap heap. This guy's got some talent. He's very fast. Against Carolina, he came out guns blazing. He was great. I think he had 4 catches there in the first half. And if he, you know, finally caught onto that system, which we've talked about before, and you know, one that has taken many victims over the years, if he finally catches on, I do think Dorsett could be a nice piece for sure.
Yeah, there's been a lot of first round players that turn into busts. Never forget Trent Richardson. That guy was a top 5 pick, and he was terrible. So sometimes that doesn't go as far as you would hope, but we'll see. You know, a full offseason in the system, that's definitely going to benefit him. So we'll see how he does. Chris Hogan, like you said, he is a sneaky, great deep ball player, huge yards per catch. He's faster than people think. It's those lax legs, I guess. I don't know. But let's move on to defensive MVP. So this was one of the worst defenses in the league last year, depending on what stat you look at. If you want to go by points scored, I think they were top 10. But, you know, that's debatable. That's a lot of times that's based on, you know, they're so They have less points because their bend don't break. They let people go up and down between the 20s, and they make stops when they need to. But not exactly how you want to necessarily rely on a defense, especially in the Super Bowl when you get shredded by bums. But my point being, defensive MVP, there's plenty of room to step up because that defense was so bad last year. So you get Dante Hightower coming back from an injury, so that's going to be good to see. You know, you get a lot of new guys on the defensive line. There's a lot of Jags, just another guy in the linebacker core. So I know there's some young guys like Juwan Bentley making the name for themselves. It's going to be the second full year for our boy Stephon Gilmore, who sucked when he first started the year, but he came on hard in the second half of the year. And by the end of the year, he saved the season in that game against Jacksonville with that deflected pass. If he doesn't make that, Patriots lose. So who's going to be the defensive MVP? I don't know. I kind of want to hear your thoughts because I think you and I are split on one of the guys.
Yeah, you know, going off the defense last year, it was a very strange situation because you're exactly right, where it wasn't a great defense. They were a top 10 team in terms of points allowed, which is really ultimately what matters. But, you know, they finished with 42 sacks last year, which was 7th in the league. Yet they had one of the worst pass rushes in the entire NFL. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but when you look at the fact that they gave up the 3rd most passing yards in the league, you know, a lot of people might want to say, well, you know, it's going to be in the secondary. They're the one that's covered the receivers. But again, a pass rush is a big part of that. And I think that this year, you know, bringing in guys like Adrian Claiborne, who's looked great, you know, Danny Shelton is someone who really hasn't gotten a lot of shine. That was a very, very good move by Belichick. Danny Shelton, another first-round pick out of Washington a couple years ago. He's a D-tackle. Him and Malcolm Brown are kind of known for their interior pass-rushing skills. I think that was a really, really good move to bring him in here. And I truly don't even know why Cleveland gave him up, besides the fact that he's going to be a free agent next year. But, you know, I think what we're kind of split on is the fact that everyone knows Trey Flowers, who had a great year last year. He led the team with 7 sacks. He's an up-and-comer. He had 2.5 sacks in the Super Bowl against the Falcons 2 years ago, too. Another under-the-radar type performance. But my defensive MVP is Dietrich Wise. I love this kid. I do. I mean, since last year, you know, he always seems to be involved. He finished with 5 sacks, which, considering the fact that he wasn't a primary starter, is pretty impressive. But the thing that I like about Wise is when you watch him play, he's always involved in every play. Always involved in every play. Even if he doesn't get the sack, he's knocking the quarterback down. He's getting in his face, and he just plays with this confidence that you don't see from most young guys. And while I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Flowers continues to ascend and get even better, Dietrich Wise is my pick for defensive MVP, without question.
Yeah, and Wise is going to be great. He obviously came on, and another home run for Belichick in a mid to late round pick. I had a blog a week or two ago about their absolute swings and misses on the first and second round in the draft the last 5 years. You go back and you look, they've not hit on anyone. It's either been bums, guys that have been injured. This year, obviously, Isaiah Wynn tore his Achilles. And then going back years past, I mean, they had guys like Dominic Easley, who, again, had knee injuries in college, and they draft him. And fucking shocker, he has knee injuries in the pros, and they had to deal with that. And then also the draft picks that they traded, or the draft picks that they lost due to suspensions that, you know, had nothing to do with what deflated footballs were all about. But, yeah, so there's a lot of shit going on. But in terms of defensive MVP, the guys that I got to pick, I know we talked about it, Trey Flowers. I was reading a Mike Reese article, and basically there was a stat. I don't know the exact numbers, but they were saying the number of quarterback knockdowns as it relates to his sack numbers. It was just an aberration where he did not have enough sacks. The amount of quarterback knockdowns he should have had way more sacks. So they were predicting that he'll have more sacks this year. And if not, because obviously sacks a lot of times can be kind of a sexy stat. They're not necessarily an end-all, be-all stat. But it's a guy who's kind of – it's a predictor of a guy who's on the brink of having a breakout season and becoming a star. So I'm big on Trey Flowers.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, I'm not down on Trey Flowers. And I think that I only see him going up from here, and I hope that, you know, we spend the money and re-sign him, because he's also a free agent next year, and, you know, hopefully we don't trade him like we did the league leader in sacks last year, Chandler Jones. But I digress. I'm a big fan of Flowers, and that stat's interesting that you said that, you know, relative to the amount of quarterback hurries he had, it's surprising to see that he didn't have more sacks. Just to kind of go off Patriots for a second here, there's another guy who had a very similar kind of trajectory last year, Myles Garrett, who is actually my sneaky pick for NFL defensive MVP. It is not Hard Knocks bias. Myles Garrett is an absolute animal. And again, kind of like with Dietrich Wise, as long as you're getting in the quarterback's face, even if you don't get the sack, as long as you disrupt the play, you are a good player. So it's been a long time since they've kind of had bookends like Flowers and Wise kind of on the line like that. And I'm just very excited to see. And Claiborne, again, I mentioned him, but Adrian Claiborne was a guy who had 9 sacks last year for Atlanta. They got some good pieces this year.
Yeah, I think the D-line is very underrated. I think they went out and got some pieces, and they got some young guys. The D-line's going to be a lot better than people expect. And that's, you know, the biggest thing they needed to address after not getting any sacks in the Super Bowl last year. And then just kind of touching on your boy Chandler Jones, he also led the league in K2 ingested.
Yeah. Certainly did.
He loves synthetic weed. So, moving on. Let's talk about surprise/breakout player of the year. Now, this is going to be tough because there are a lot of guys already kind of entrenched in their roles. Chris Hogan's been here. James White's been here. Obviously, Tom Brady, Gronk, they've all been here. I think one of the guys we are both excited about is Cordarrelle Patterson. Just kind of watching him get the ball. He loves to shake and bake. And I know this is a guy who has not really had huge success to this point in his career, but I think coming to the Patriots and Josh McDaniels in particular, they put you in position to succeed. They literally say, here's 5 plays for you. We're going to run these. We're going to put you in position. We're going to give you the ball, whether it's screens or bubble screens or slants or end arounds or handoffs. I think the Patriots are probably the best offense to get him the ball where he needs to be to succeed. It's not necessarily run deep routes or run just, they're not going to force a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, and again, here's another one, a former first-round pick, and I don't want to hit too hard on that because there have been plenty of first-round busts, but this guy has talent. And not only is he very fast and athletic, but he's a big guy. Like, he is a solid, solid guy. And what's really been interesting when you look at Cordarrelle Patterson this year and what kind of really fortifies our prediction that he's going to be a big part of the offense is he hasn't been used in the return game. And that's what he was known for in Minnesota and then Oakland, where he went after that he was a huge return guy. But they're not really using that way, which leads me to believe that they're really trying to prime him on offense. And if you look at a lot of the successful offenses in the past couple of years, you have to have, I don't necessarily want to say trick plays, but, you know, plays where it's different formations. I mean, the NFL's caught on. You know, when you run the same offense for 20 years, the league's going to keep building defenses, is going to be able to stop that. And I think Patterson gives you this type of player that we really haven't had in a while. And I can see him being a big piece.
So what you're saying is we should bring back the Wildcat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Patterson, you know, you're saying they didn't really use him a lot as a return man in the preseason, and that could be a couple things. Could be they just want to keep him healthy, no need to get hurt returning kicks. We know you can return kicks, but it's also, you know, he's a return guy, but they changed their return rules even further, where it's like might not necessarily get that benefit out of Patterson as a sole return guy, where they're just gonna kick it out of the back of the end zone anyway. So you might as well just have him be a receiver and then have, God willing, Cyrus Jones return kicks. Hopefully he holds on to the fucking ball.
I think he'd do something.
Yeah. Cyrus Jones, do anything, and I'll buy a jersey of yours. All right, let's jump into best fantasy player of 2018 for the Patriots. Patriots aren't necessarily a team you usually want to draft a lot of guys in fantasy football. Tom Brady's only had a couple of seasons where he's really been a reliable fantasy football quarterback, and quarterback is so deep in general that I usually tend to stay away unless I get him real, real late, which is hard to do when you're drafting in New England. I mean, I think the guy is probably Gronk. I know it's not really a hot take, but I'm not going to go out and say James White. James White might get you 10 points one week. He'll get you zero the next week. Chris Hogan could be good. I think Edelman could be a sneaky pick if you get him mid to late rounds, because he is an older guy coming off a torn knee. If you get him late, that could be a great stretch run for you down the last few weeks of the fantasy season. But with that being said, I've not had great success the last couple of years, so I'm in full-on, we have to win the first four games mode. There's none of this shit that guys are suspended. Last year, I had Ezekiel Elliott, and by week six or seven when he came back, I was already in the fucking tank, so I'm not waiting anymore.
But let's not forget that you also get Zeke Elliott as a 12th pick in the first round as a keeper this year. Red and I, as the league that I run, you know, we got a bunch of buddies, and we got Papa Giorgio in there and everything as well. he's got Zeke Elliott as the 12th pick in the first round. So I think he's starting off pretty well. But yeah, it's, again, I think that, of course, Gronk, you know, the guy's in his own tier as a tight end. And most of the time you're going to sleep on a tight end, or you're going to wait to draft a tight end in the past couple of rounds. But if you're sitting there at the end of the second round, beginning of the third, and he's there, you take him. This is a guy who averages over 10 touchdowns a year, you know, who gets 1,000 yards as a tight end, which is comparable to most wide receiver ones, which is crazy. Brady, again, I mean, we won't go off on a tangent on different draft strategies, but, you know, again, you want to typically wait to the later rounds to kind of draft a quarterback. It doesn't give you as much of an advantage to take a signal caller early, you know, as it would a tight end or a running back. But I think Burkhead is my fantasy MVP. I truly can see in 1,000-plus-yard, 1,100-plus-yard season, 10 touchdowns. He might get you 50 catches, too. So in a PPR, he's going to be great. But I think it comes down to, besides Gronk and Brady, him and Hogan. I do think Hogan is guaranteed to get at least 70, 75 catches. Again, a big jump up from the 34 he had last year, but you have to keep in mind the fact that he missed a lot of games. But if I had to rank them overall, I'd say Gronk, Brady, Burkhead, Hogan would be my top four.
And the only thing I got to say is, if anyone from our league is watching this before the draft, this is insider trading, and you will be docked by the commissioner. So
yeah, exactly.
Turn this off.
We're keeping note.
All right, so let's kind of jump into, let's break down the schedule. We're not going to go game by game, but we're going to kind of just take a look at who they're playing and where we really expect them to finish. Obviously, they open up with the Texans, and then they get the Jaguars, Lions, and Dolphins. Now, the Texans, they started off great last year with Deshaun Watson. He was phenomenal against us last year with the huge touchdown run. And then he obviously got hurt, blew his knee out, as a lot of mobile quarterbacks do. But then they went in the tank when he got hurt. He's an electrifying player. Great. Loved watching him at Clemson. That one's going to be a bit of a toss-up because the Texans defense is always stout. J.J. Watt's going to be back. We'll see how healthy he is. Jaguars, they're going to be, you know, great again, but young team. I kind of want to see them repeat it before I crown them champions. Blake Bortles is still their quarterback, who had probably his best season last year, and that guy's a fucking bum half the time. The Lions, normally a tough game, and they also have our old friend Matt Patricia as head coach now, so that'll be tough. And then the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins are terrible. I think that's a win for sure. I say they go 3-1. What do you think?
I think 3-1 is pretty reasonable. I think the Jags, it is going to be a tough game because that defense is phenomenal. And I just have to say, and I know our friend Beach will get a load of me for this, but I'm a Blake Bortles fan. I think that I am. I mean, this guy put up over 30 touchdowns 2-3 years ago. I actually have a side bet going with him that Bortles will have 25 touchdowns and 4,500 yards this year.
I mean, that's everyone in the league.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. They did just lose Marquise Lee, but in order not to give away any fantasy thoughts. They've still got other pieces there. I think Fournette's going to have a great year. He lost some weight, and he is an absolute stud. Yeldon's great behind him. They got a lot of pieces. So I think that Jags game is going to be tough, and it is in Jacksonville. So I think that's going to be a tough game. The Texans are interesting this year because I want to see, much like you said with the Jaguars, I want to see Watson do it again. I was actually pretty low on Watson coming out of college. I ate a lot of crow last year, you know, considering how good he looked. But I'm sorry, he's not putting up those numbers again. Nobody is. I mean, his touchdown rate was ridiculous. And, you know, they've still got the talent. I think he'll be fine. You know, the Lions are a team that I think a lot of people sleep on every year. And then, you know, I think we got them. And the Dolphins is a pretty, you know, it's the Dolphins. So
I don't have Jay Cutler, so we're safe there. All right, let's go speed round. So after week four, starting week five, we got Colts. Win or loss?
It's a win.
That's a win. Give us a thumbs up, thumbs down. Chiefs?
Win.
Matt says win. You, what about Patrick Mahomes? You're not afraid of Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, I love Mahomes this year, but I just think overall we're a better team.
Yeah, I think it's very cocky of Andy Reid, clock management master, to assume rookie Patrick, or, you know, second-year Patrick Mahomes is just going to be great out of the gates, especially when Alex Smith had his best year ever last year. Luckily, he has fucking bevy of weapons around him, so I could play quarterback for the Chiefs and we'd be fine.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Bears. Bears are trash. I'm not going to let you answer. That's a win.
I will say, let me just say, the Bears are one of my surprise teams this year. I think we'll beat them, but I do not think they're trash.
You like Mitchell Trubisky kissing titties?
I do. I like Nagy in that offense. I think they made some good moves this offseason.
Is Kevin White still in the league?
He actually is. Yeah, and he's been, you know, not blowing out his knee so far. So he's standing.
Matt is high on Kevin White. The Bills. The Bills are trash. If, you know, this is week eight, by then, if he's not already, or if he doesn't have a concussion again, Josh Allen should probably be starting just because he's a first round pick. He's a top 10 pick. He should be starting. I think he's trash. I think he's going to be terrible. Sorry, Kyle, you guys are in trouble.
Yeah. Sorry, Kyle, that you're probably going to finish the worst team in the league this year. Sorry, bud.
After making the playoffs, you can't win them all, Kyle. Okay, week nine we got Packers. Packers is a sexy, exciting matchup. This is, you know, the second time Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have faced off. That's crazy. They've both been in the league for what, 15 years, and it's the second time they've ever played. Like, NFL needs to fix this. I mean, we got Brady Manning, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 times with playoffs included. This is crazy.
Yeah, I think as NFL fans, I don't care what team you root for. I think as an NFL fan, we need to be traded to a Brady Rodgers Super Bowl before it's all over. It's got to happen. So at least we got this year. We got a healthy Aaron Rodgers, hopefully. So at least we got that something.
But so I will say, win or loss?
It's at home. I'm gonna go win.
It's at home. Win. All right. Titans, my boy Marcus Mariota, who had a very down year last year, but they also, again, not to drive this analogy home, not to just, you know, beat it to the ground, but square peg, round hole. They put him in some basic-ass offense. They tried to force him into it, and he also had a banged-up knee, so he wasn't really himself. But, again, you're going to draft a guy like Marcus Mariota coming out of a Chip Kelly offense. He's an Oregon Duck. You need to play to his strengths, not try and have him run I formations every fucking day. So I expect big things out of him this year. And, you know, he's got Deion Lewis coming out of the backfield. So this is already going to be my favorite Madden team of all time.
That is, I'm going to go with a loss on that one. I think it is, it's in Tennessee, correct?
Yep.
That's so I think that that is going to be one of the sneaky losses of the year. Mariota's looked a little so-so this offseason, but I've been high on him otherwise. I'm going to go with a loss on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to sneak up one way or another. I think they probably still get out of there with a win, but after that, they get the bye week, so they very rarely lose going into a bye week. They almost never lose coming out of a bye week. And who do they have coming out of the bye week in week 12? They have the New York Jets and their new boy, USC quarterback Sam Darnold, because they didn't learn the first time with USC quarterback Mark Sanchez. I think the Jets always play us hard. I think we'll probably split with them. I think we sweep the Bills. I think probably end up splitting with the Dolphins, because there's always a freaky loss in there with the Dolphins. But I think one of these games, the Jets are probably going to squeak out.
Yeah, I agree. Hot take, I think the Jets are going to finish second in the division. I don't mean to shit entirely on the Bills, but I truly believe they're going to be the worst team in the league this year. They just look bad. Sorry, Papa Giorgio. But in the Dolphins, you got Tannehill coming back, another guy a la Blake Bortles, who I think gets a little too much flack. I think that they've got some decent pieces, but the Jets, I do believe, are going to finish behind us. Not close behind us, but behind us in the division this year, so I do think we're going to split one with them.
All right, and weeks 13, 14, we got Vikings, Dolphins. What do you think of those guys?
The Vikings are a tough matchup. I mean, again, this is at home. It's in New England, but, I mean, that team is absolutely loaded. Kirk Cousins, I know everyone is flying high with him there. I do. I've got him on one of my fantasy teams. I think he's going to have a good year. But, you know, until I see him actually win something, I'm not going to go too gung-ho with them. But that defense is fucking filthy. They've got a lot of weapons on offense, so I think that that one could be tough, and I'm going to go with a loss on that one.
And then we get our marquee matchup of the year. You got Patriots-Steelers in Week 15, and this is a Sunday 4 o'clock game. I don't know how this isn't a primetime game. These are arguably the two best teams in the NFL. Last year, they won on a controversial call with the Steelers tight end dropping the ball. If you're going to go by the letter of the law and the rule, he dropped the ball going into the end zone. Got to complete that catch, boy. And they barely won by the skin of their teeth. And this year, the Patriots aren't much better, and the Steelers are still phenomenal on offense, assuming Le'Veon Bell, you know, decides to play this year. I think that's going to be a tough one, trying to stop Le'Veon Bell, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. I think that's a lot of offensive firepower. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster had a big year last year. I think this is probably a loss, but this is maybe a good loss where they come back and they win in the playoffs against them, but I don't know, we won't get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I think the Steelers are angry. And, you know, that catch, it was quite a contentious issue last year. Again, letter of the law, he didn't catch the ball. And it is what it is. They also had a, you know, chance to come back against in the playoffs, and they didn't. So, you know, but no, I think that what the Steelers did, they used to be a team that was all offense. And I think the past couple of years, they've really made a lot of improvements on defense. Their defense is only getting better. I also think that a sneaky fantasy sleeper for you here, based upon the amount of targets he might get. But James Washington was a great pick for them this year. He was, I believe, the Biletnikoff winner last year in college. He's looked great in the preseason. So you've already got Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Juju, who I think is fantastic. And then if you add a guy like James Washington and Ben Roethlisberger, who, let's not forget, this guy's been to three Super Bowls and won two of them. And I don't know if we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but I do think that the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl this year. They are my pick from the AFC.
Mattis burying the lead, jumping ahead. Not a Big J journalist move right there. Just kind of submarine the last 30 seconds of the segment. So Bills, Jets, like we said, I think we probably split with them. I think we sweep the Bills because I think they're going to be trash this year. And, you know, that's even assuming LeSean McCoy, you know, doesn't go to jail. So we'll see with that. Okay, so let's wrap it up since let's talk about where do you think, what's your prediction for a record and where do you think the Patriots are going to finish? I have them going 12-4. I think they're going to get to their ninth straight AFC title game, but I think they're probably going to lose. Steelers are probably a safe bet to get there. You know, you got dark horses like Chiefs, but I don't know if they're there yet with Mahomes. And then the Raiders. I mean, we didn't even talk about Raiders. We could do a whole podcast on John Gruden, so I won't get into that. But I got him going.
We should.
We should.
That would be a fun podcast.
We'll do a Gruden only podcast where we basically just review his Coors Light commercials and Hooters commercials. And so I got him 12-4 and probably losing AFC Championship game just because I think the defense is not going to be good enough. And you know, if you have enough receivers by the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I said, I jumped the gun a little bit. But no, I do think that's exactly what's going to happen. And you know, I hate doing this, you know, but I think it's also going to be a 12-4 season. I think we're going to get to the AFC Championship and end up losing to the Steelers. Again, as you said, the defense, I'm not going to say that it scares me, but I think that Steelers offense has just gotten better. You know, last year they had Martavis Bryant, who was supposed to be that other weapon. But now, I mean, I don't want to pump his tires too much, but I do think James Washington is going to really surprise some people this year. And I think that they're just angry. And I think that Big Ben wants to do a, you know, get another big win before he's out. I mean, he almost retired, what, last offseason, and now all of a sudden he's fine again. He's also one hit away from, you know, drinking soup through a straw for the rest of his life. But if they stay healthy, the Steelers are my pick from the AFC.
All right, you heard it here first. We both have the Pats going 12-4 and losing to the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. So I don't feel great about that.
I hope
they prove us wrong, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like they got better from last year where they lost in the Super Bowl. So we'll see. But I don't know. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap it up?
I'm just excited. We're a week away now, so let's
get out. We are days away from the start of the Patriots 2018 season, and I got plenty of jerseys in the closet. I got my Flutie jersey in the closet. I got multiple TB12 jerseys in the closet.
I got my Wes Welker jersey that we, let's just say we got at a discount a few years back. We'll leave it at that. We'll let you guys wonder what the hell that means.
I'm going to tell this story real quick.
Okay.
All right. So, freshman year of college, we had a guy living in our hallway. We won't name him. I don't even remember his name, actually, to be honest. He said, hey, you guys are Patriots fans. You guys looking for jerseys? We're like, sure, why not? And he's like, I can get you, you know, these stitched replica, not even replica, official jerseys, authentic jerseys.
It's just real, son.
That run, those go for like $250, $300. And he goes, $50. We're like, what, how? He goes, they felt the back of a truck. I'm like, all right, this is a sketch. So we give him $50 each. I got a TB12. You got a Welker. And one of our other friends got a Gerard Mayo jersey. May he rest in peace. And he meets us in the parking lot and opens his trunk like it's Pulp Fiction, like we're doing a drug deal. And he says, here you go, boys. And they're like in the package. And I'm like, where did you get this? And he goes, back of a truck. So that was our white crime intro right there.
Yeah. And if this ends up being the last podcast and we just outed ourselves, we've had a lot of fun. This was great. But as I was pretty adamant about it, it was just straight cash, no paper trail. So I think my Welker jersey is doing just fine still. So,
and this is also why you don't shop at Walmart. This is Walmart quality chair right now. But all right, thanks for listening to another episode of the 300s podcast. Thank you, Mattis, for joining us. See you guys next time.